Today's Shi'ez Masechta Yuma Daf Nun Hey. We will begin on Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis on the bottom line. The Gemara refers back to what we learned in the Mishnah that the Kohen Gadol, as he was continuing his Avod on Yom Kippurim, Notel as Adami Mishim Amaris Ba, he would take the blood from whoever was mixing it, bring it to the Beis Hamikdash to do the series of Zrikas, and the Gemara says, V'loi ha'yim skavin, Mishnah said, V'loi skavin l'hazas lo'y l'malo l'mata. He did not have a mind to sprinkle the blood upwards or downwards, ela k'matzlif. So the Gemara immediately asks, my k'matzlif, what's the definition of matzlif? Says the Gemara, Machi Rabbi Yehuda demonstrated k'mandana, like someone who gives malchus, someone who chas v'shalom is mechuyev to give to Malchus for an aveira that he did. So the person, the Shliach Bezdin, who is appointed to give the Malchus, he doesn't give the Malchus on the person's body all in one place. He goes downwards from up to down. Moreover, the Rishonim explain that it's not that the Shliach Bezdin who gives Malchus is supposed to give Malchus in any one spot. The point, however, is that what some explain that what we're comparing him to, what we're comparing the Malchus, the spritzing of the dam by the Kohen Gadol to this individual, was that he didn't always have his hand in the same direction. Sometimes he had his hands palm up, and sometimes he had his palm down. And that's how the Ritva explains. We're going to learn our Gemara. Sometimes the dam that was spritzed on the different places was with the palm up, and sometimes it was with the palm down. Another pshat is that the Gemara Masechet Makkos says that when the Shliach Bezdin gave the Malchus, he gave some on the front of the body and some on the back of the body. Here too, they weren't all spritzed in the exact same place. So our Gemara goes into a braisa now to discuss where and how many and how the hazaz were done on Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara Tana, we learned in a braisa, Kshumaza, when the Kohen Gadol does the hazaz of the Achas Shalom Lamala, and as we learned, that's done both by the Par and by the Sar, Eina Maza al Kapiris, he doesn't sprinkle the blood that it should hit the top of the Aron, the Kapiris, El Keneged of Yishal Kapiris. It means that it should hit the side of the papyrus. And that's what we spoke about in the previous shiurim, that they did hazah bein habadim. The bein habadim means that they stood, the bein habadim means the side of the aron. Not only the side of the aron, that it doesn't hit the top of the aron, it doesn't really have to hit, Rabbi Kivega says, the side of the aron either. It has to be sprinkled in that direction. That is considered a valid hatzah. Ein maza al kapiris, you don't spritz the dam, should hit the roof of the kapiris. Ela keneged of yishal kapiris, the sides. And like I just said, they didn't even have to touch the side. Shumaz lamala, mitzadeh yad lamata, when he does the hazah, which is meant to be done lamala, he does it with his hand up, the palm of his hand facing up. Shemaza lamata, when he does the hazah, which is lamata, the zayin hazah is lamata, but tzadeh yad lamala, he does it with his palm down. We also learned in the Mishnah that the hazahs were done lamala and lamata, and the Gemara explains from where we know these halacha. Says the Ramanan Halim Mili, where do we know these halachas from? It says the Gemara, Amar of Achba Yaakov, Amar of Zera, Amar Krob. The Pasuk says, regarding the Dam HaSoyer, V'shachar HaSir HaChatas, V'hiza Oysa Ala Kapiris, V'lifnei Kapiris. And the Gemara, the Braisa points out, L'yoyim L'mata B'sor. What did the Torah have to say, L'fnei HaKapiris, which represent the Hazos that are done, the Sheva L'mata? L'yoy Tzorach. There is really no reason
says the Braisa, for the Torah to tell us that we have to do the Azor L'mata by the Soil Hashem. Because we can learn it from Exar Yeshava, from Hazor Mata de Par. That just like we know that was done Hazos on the bottom by the Par, where the Torah says, V'lokam idam ha-par, l'fnei ha-kapar is yaz ha-shemen, sheva pomim min adam batzboi. And since the Torah says that by the Par, and we learn the same thing applies by the Sor, so why does the Torah have to say? Because the Torah says, Vosas, how do we know that whatever is done by the Sor is also done by the Par? Because the Torah says, V'osa as domoi, kasha osa dam par. We should treat the dam of the Sor Hashem like we treat the dam of the Par. So we know that they're the same. Lakushi, so why did the Torah have to say by the Sor, V'lifne kapira? Lakushi, al, when the Torah says, ala kapiris, which references the Hazor of Achas Lamala, Lifnei, to say that when the Torah says Lifnei Kapiris, also is similar. Mal Lifnei the lav Al, when the Torah says Lifnei Kapiris, which refers to the Hazor of Achas Lamala, doesn't mean on the Kapiris itself. And how do we know that that doesn't mean on the Kapiris itself? Because if it meant to be on the Kapiris itself, it wouldn't have said Al. The Torah would have not have used the word. It wouldn't have said Lifnei. It would have said on the Kapiris. Mal Lifnei. So when the Torah uses the word Lifnei for Hazor L'mala, it clearly doesn't mean on the Kapiris itself. Al. The Torah is teaching us that the other one, also the Lav Al, it's not put on the Kapiris itself. It's put in a way that it should not hit the kapiris itself. So here we've learned that both, by both situations, it's not put on the kapiris itself. Adrabba, but the Gemara asks, we can make a counter argument. And in fact, I saw the Siach Yitzchak says, why does the Gemara use the word adrabba? Gemara could have usually, in such a type of a question, asks my chazis. Why are we learning this way than that way? So the Psiach Yitzchak says, what the Gemara, by saying Adrabba, really means to say, that it would make more sense to say that the blood should have to touch the Kapiris. Because normally, when the Torah speaks about sprinkling, when it speaks about doing Hazor by most Kabbonis on the Mizbeach HaChitzin, the blood actually has to touch the Mizbeach. And therefore, explains the Siach Yitzchak, the Gemara's question is that here too, why are we saying that just like on top, it doesn't have to touch, on the bottom, it doesn't have to touch? The Gemara is saying, Adrabba, we should really say just the opposite. Layoimer Lamal Bapar, the Torah doesn't have to say, V'lokim Adam Apar, V'izim Be'etzbo Al Pnei Kaperis Kedma. The Lord Tzorach, the Torah doesn't really have to say it, because we can learn that you have to do Hazor L'mala on the Kapiris by the Par, the government Mala the Sor. Because as we said before, anything that the Torah says, that everything should be done by both of them the same. Why does the Torah have to go and teach us the halacha of this Hazor L'mala B'par? We can learn it from the Sor to teach us L'kushe L'fnei La'al. To compare, to say when the Torah says Lifnei Kapiris should be the same as Al Kapiris. Ma'al, doesn't the word Al mean Al Mamish? Exactly on it. Af Lifnei Al Mamish. So right now where the Gemara is up to, that if anything, we should make a counter argument and say that everywhere the Hazor has to be done, on the Kapiris itself. Says the Gemara, Haimai, this entire approach that doesn't really work. Because, if we'll say that the Torah wrote the halachas of doing a Hazor Lamata by the Sor, Lekushe, to teach us that the Lamala of the Sor also doesn't have to touch the Kapiris, Lamala, the Par, and the Torah taught us that we have to do Hazor Lamala by a par, biboile, we're going to use that l'chidatari debay Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov to teach us what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov taught us. The Tana debay Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the Torah says regarding the hazor that's done lamala by the par, the Torah says, v'hiza betzpa apnei ha-kapayrus keima, zebnei av, this serves as a source, kamakam shenem apnei, that whenever the Torah uses the word pnei, ena elakadim, it means the east side. Eli Amrit, but if you're going to say, as we're saying, that lamat the par lakushe, that when the Torah says that lamal the par, it's coming to teach us that this dam has to touch the kapoiris. So if that's the case, what and it's not superfluous to teach us that you go in the mizrach direction, then we're going to be left lamat the sar. Why did the Torah have to tell us any about lamat the sar? We could have learned it from the hekish. So the fact that we want to be able to find a purpose in all the psukim leads us to the limud that we just had and leaves us with the limud that the dam, not by lamala nor by lamata, has to actually touch the kapiris. Tan Rabbanan, the pasuk says, by the dam hasor, v'hiza oisoi al kapiris ulefnei kapiris, lamadnu kam lamala basor. So from here we say, we learn achas. Because the Torah says v'hiza oisoi, oisoi is one. Lamata b'sar any day kama, but I don't know how many hazors you do lamata by the sar. Hareni don, so says the Brisa, how will I come to the conclusion? Nem adam lamata b'par, the Torah speaks about sprinkling dam lamata by the par, but nem adam lamata b'sar, and the Torah speaks about dam and being sprinkled by the sar lamata, ma lamata b'par sheva, just like by the par, you spritz 7 times, lamata, af lamata besor, you spritz 7 times. But can suggest the braisa, a kolaycho derech su, maybe we can make the following argument. Nem adam lamala besor, the Torah speaks about spritzing dam lamala by the sor, v'nem adam lamata besor, the Torah speaks about spritzing dam lamata by the sor, mal besor, it's clearly only once, as we said, so maybe we should compare the lamata to the lamala. So what the Gemara is saying is, we, as the Gemara is going to say in a moment, we have two directions how to go. One direction is to learn the lamata the sor from the lamala the sor, and just like lamala the sor, there was only one hazor, so to lamata the sor, there will be one hazor. Or the other direction we could take is that we could learn the lamala the sor from the lamala the par, and just like the lamala the par, there were 7 hazors, so too the lamala the sor will have 7 hazors. Says the Gemara, near lami daima. What is a better comparison? Dona mata mi mata. Do we learn the lamata of the? So the question is, which is the better match? And the Braisa expresses it, near mi daima. Which is the better match? Dona mata mi mata. Should we learn the mata of the sor from the mata of the par? Vain don mata milamala, rather than learning the lamata of the sor from the lamala of the sor, or you can make an argument, should we learn the mata of the sor from the mata of the par, and both will have 7, and don't learn the mata of the sor from the lamala of the sor, which will give you only 1, or we could make an argument, adirabba, don and gufa migufai, isn't it better to learn all the halachos of the sor from the sor? Not to learn the halachos of the sar from the par. And if we'll go in that direction, we'll only have 1 hazor lamata by the sar, not 7. Tamalaymer. So how do we get to the conclusion? Says the Braisa. The pasuk, which speaks about the hazor of the sar, says, Vehevi estoma and basil proiches, Vos estoma kashosu dama par. Shein tamalaymer. The Torah didn't have to say kashosu. The Torah says explicitly that we have to spritz the dam of the sor on top and on the bottom. Why did the Torah have to repeat kasha osor? Ma tam alayim kasha osor? What does the Torah want to teach us with those words? Sheika ol as Yosef Shavas. That they should always be done the same way. What does that mean? Shem shlamata bepar sheva. Just like lamata bepar was done 7 times. Kach lamata besor. So too the lamata of the sor was done 7 times. Says the Gemara. Lamadnu. So now we've learned Kam lamata b'sar? How many times do we do lamata by the fire? 7 times. How many times do lamata by the sar? 7 times. But, and we also know that we do 1 time lamala by the sar. But, because as we started the shir, they started this piece of Gemara, the Torah says, v'hiza oisoi. Oisoi means once. However, lamala b'par, any day kama. I don't know. I know that you have to spritz lamala, because the Torah says, v'lokach midam apar, v'hiza b'atzpoi al pnei akabaris kedma, clearly indicating that we have to do a hazal lamala b'par, but we don't know how many times we have to do lamala b'par. Says the Braisa, v'reni don, nem midam lamala b'sor, the Torah speaks about doing hazol lamala by the sor, the nemedam lamala by par. And the Torah tells us to do hazol lamala and the par. Mala mala besor achas, just like we just said, by the mala by sor, there's no question, it's only done once. Af lamala by par, it's done hazol achas. Oi, suggests the Braisa, we could make a counter argument. Nemedam lamata by par, the Torah speaks about doing hazol lamata by the par. The nemedam lamal bapar, and the Torah speaks about doing hazol lamal bapar. Mal mat bapar, we know it's done 7 times. Maybe so too. Af lamal bapar sheva. So in other words, it's a similar type of situation as we had a little earlier when we need to figure out how many hazos do we do lamat bapar, which the Torah doesn't say explicitly lamal bapar, which the Torah doesn't say explicitly. How many to do? Should we learn it from the sar? And just like by the sar, the Torah teaches us, we do it once, lamala. So too, by the par, we should do it once, lamala. Or maybe we should learn the lamala mi par, the upper hazos by the par, from the lower hazos by the par. And just like the lower hazos by the par was 7, so too, the upper hazos by the par should be 7. So says the Braisa, which is the better match? Near Lami Daima, which is considered the better match? Donim Malam Malam, should we learn the Lamala of the Par from the Lamala of the Sor? Vein Dalam Mala Mimata, we shouldn't learn the Lamala of the Par from the Mata of the Par? Or, Adarabu, we can make a counter argument. Donim Gufoi Migufoi, it makes more sense to learn Halacha of the Lamala from the Par from the Lamata of the Par, and not Vein done a goof from Alma, not to learn the aloch of the power from the aloch of a sawyer. Tam Loimer says the Braisa. The Pasuk says, by the sawyer, for us as domek shosol dama par. As we said a moment ago, the Braisa says, ain't tam aloim kishosa. The Torah didn't have to say kishosa. Uma tam aloim kishosa. Why did the Torah write the word kishosa? To teach us, shehei kolos yosef shavas. The way the par and the sawyer are done the same way. And therefore, k'shem shlamata b'par sheva, just like by the par, the Torah says, we do lamata 7, kach lamata b'sor sheva will be done 7 times. And on the other hand, k'shem shlamala b'sor is done once, achas, kach lamala par achas. That's how we come to the conclusion that the par and the sor are done exactly the same, 1 on top and 7 on bottom. So we just learned, and now the Gemara goes into this, that we do 1 hazor lamala, and we by the par and by the sar, and Zion says lamata both by the par and the sar. The Barbanel explains why lamala do we only do 1 hazor? Because the lamala represents what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. Our ability to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is limited. And as much as we're going to try to understand and try to fathom the Darkei Hashem, our ability is limited. So by doing achas lamala, we say there is lamala that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever he does, he knows what he's doing. We don't necessarily understand. But the lamata represents what we do in this world, that we could do, we could learn Torah, we could do mitzvahs, we could do chesed. And the more Torah we learn, and the more mitzvahs we do, the better. And that's why to show that representation, that we do Zion lamata, to show we should have to do many different ways. The Ramah explains that why do we do Zayin Lamata? Because the Achas Lamala represents the Yetzer Tov, who's always supposed to be Lamala, who's always supposed to prevail. The Zayin Lamata represents the Yetzer Hara, who we hope is Lamata, who's not able to lift his head. And we know, says the Ramah, that the Yetzer Hara tries many different opportunities in different ways how to convince us to do the wrong thing. So to show how we have to be on guard from all of the different ways the Yetzer Hara tries to get us, that's why we do Zayin Lamata, that we're on guard. We're on guard from all the different ways that he did. Tana Rabbanan explains the Gemara that the way the Kohen Gadol counted, he said, Achas, Achas v'Achas, Achas v'Shtayim, Achas v'Arba, Achas v'Shtayim, Achas v'Sholosh, Achas v'Arba, Achas v'Chomesh, Achas v'Sheish, Achas v'Sheva, Divir Emeya. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the way it was done was Achas v'Achas, Shtayim v'Achas, Sholosh v'Achas, Arba v'Achas, Chomesh v'Achas, Shesh v'Achas, Sheva v'Achas. Says the Gemara, V'loi Pligi. There's really no machloikus. Everybody agrees that you have to count once on top and seven on bottom. The question is exactly how did you express the count? What was the machloikus? Rameh says always achas and then the bigger number. And Reb Yehuda says the higher number and then the lower number. Says the Gemara, there's really no machloikus. Ma'ka asrei, ma'ka asrei. In the place where Rameh lived, when they wanted to count a number, they would count the smaller number and then the bigger number. That's how they would express a number of two, a count with two numbers. And the place where Yehuda lived, when they expressed a count with two numbers, they said the bigger number first. Like we say, 21. In other places, in Yiddish, they say, Ein und Zwanzig, 1 and 2. Says the Mara, the Kula Almamias, Hazar is showing it Sri Chaminim Kol Achas V'Achas. Everybody is in agreement, says the Gemara, that when you count all the other Hazars, you also remember and you review the Hazar that you did first, Lamala. Mia, the Kula Almamias, everybody is in agreement. Hazar is showing it Sri Chaminim Kol Achas V'Achas. When we're counting the lower numbers, we have to repeat the Hazar that we did, Lamala. Says the Mara, my Tama. What is the reason for this? Once we finish doing the Hazor Lamala, we finished. Why do we have to keep on mentioning it again? It says the Gemara, B'lezo Oymish Lo Yitab Hazors. The reason it's done is that somebody shouldn't come to make a mistake and he'll think that he has to do the upper Hazor first. By counting this way, you're not going to get confused and you'll know that one has to be Lamala and seven have to be Lamala. You'll be able to remember that how to do it, and that you did it properly. Rav Yochan says a different reason why we have to keep on repeating Dachas Lamal. I'm a crop. The Pirus says, Ulfnea Kapirus Yaza. And the question, Shain Tamaloma Yaza, because the Pasuk already at the beginning of that Pasuk says the words Vihizo Vetzboy. So we know we're speaking about a Hazor. Why does the Torah repeat the word Yaza? Yaza. Why did the Torah repeat the word Yaza? Liman Azor Rishayna. The Torah is teaching us that when we do the Azor Rishayna, Tzricha Minyan of Kalachas V'Achas. Even when we do the later Hazars, we have to review again and mention the early Hazar. That's the Gemara Mai Benayu. So we had two, the Gemara just offered two different explanations why we have to recount with the bottom Hazars every time the upper Hazar. Says the Gemara, what's the difference? What's the halachic difference between these two explanations? Says the Gemara, well, you didn't repeat it, but you didn't make any mistake. You spritzed the blood properly. According to the opinion, that's midoraisa, that you have to repeat it. So even though you did it properly, it doesn't make a difference. The Torah says that you have to count it again. And if you didn't count it, you didn't do it properly. According to the opinion that we're only doing it to make sure that you do it properly, then the halacha is that if you did it right, you should have done it that way, but if you did it right, you don't have to redo it. The interesting thing is that our Gemara speaks about counting. The Gemara just taught us, the Rabbi Yochanan says that not only do you have to count, but when you count the banner ones, you have to also mention the upper one. But the one thing the Gemara didn't mention is how do we know that b'chlal, in general, that you have to verbally count by all of these zerikas? So the Torah Yishonim quotes a brayse in Torah Kahanim. The fact that the Torah says the word sheva pa'omim, When the Torah speaks about spritzing, the Torah says sheva pamim. It doesn't say sheva tipim. What does the Torah want to teach us by saying sheva pamim? That you have to verbally count each one of the hazaz. So the Migdash David makes a point. He says that if the Torah required to sprinkle 7 drops of blood to be considered a valid zrika, one would be able to accomplish that zrika even 7 successive drops, which means is he would not need to sprinkle all 7 at one time. So when the Kohen Gadol sprinkles 7 times in Yom Kippur, it's not obvious that he has to do 7 separate acts of zrikas. Maybe it means is that he should do 7 drops, but not 7 zrikas. So says the Migdash David, that the Torah required the Kohen Gadol to verbally count each act of zrika to teach us that it's not the counting that's the point. The point is to show that each zrika is a separate zrika. And therefore, says the Migdash David, if the entire point of counting is not that there's a need for a count, the need for a count is just to show that every zrika is a separate zrika. It's not just take enough blood and throw it 7 times, but every time you have to start from scratch and do 7 separate zrikas. So the way that's accomplished is by counting. But if you would count, but not use the right number. For example, says the Migdash David, when you came to number 7, instead of saying 7, you said 8. But you, in reality, did 7 separate zrikas. According to Migdash David, the Migdash David wants to say that it would be fine. Even though you said 8, you didn't say 7. As long as you actually did 7 separate zrikas, because that's the entire purpose of doing the zrikas, to make them into 7 separate acts, you would be yotze. So we learned in the Mishnah, the yotze v'nicha, that after he did the zrik with the dam apar, the Kohen Gadol put that blood al kan hazav shebeheichel on the golden base that there was in the base of Migdash. And the Mishnah taught us that afterwards the Kohen Gadol did the zrikas with the dam asor, and when he finished doing that, he put that dam on a second kain, on a second base that they had in the base of Migdash. Rabbi Yehuda, we learned in the Mishnah, disagrees. And Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah taught us, said there was only one base. He says, because Rabbi Yehuda was concerned that if there are going to be two bases, somebody may get confused between the dam apar and the dam asor, which are right next to each other. But if there's only one base, you want much less likely to get confused, because each one has, because you only have one base and you're holding the other blood in your hand. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah in Masechta Shkalim teach us that you could bring kanim. Kanim means a pair of birds. Now, sometimes you bring a pair of birds because the Torah tells you as you chayv to bring them as a carbon. Under those circumstances, one is a carbon oila and one is a carbon chatas. And sometimes you bring the money because you want to bring a carbon oila. You want to bring in the dava. In such circumstances, you can't donate, as we've learned many times, a carbon chatas. So all of the two birds that you bring, or the money that you bring for the two birds, are used both for carbon oil. So the Gemara says, Tanan Hasam, the Mishnah teaches us in Masechta Shkalim, that there was no shofar. They had different pushkas in the Mishkan. They were called shofaris because they were made in the same shape like a shofar, that they were wide on the bottom and narrow on the top, in order to prevent anybody being able to stick their hand in chas v'shalom and take out some of the money. So the Mishnah teaches us, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lo Hayishem Shofaris, there were no pushkas l'kinei chayva. Somebody's obligated, a zov ayuledes, or somebody went into the base of Migdash when they were tamei and they're chayv in a karba oil of a yoyred, they financially can't bring an animal, so they bring two birds. They didn't have a pushka for that. Nei hatarayvus. They were concerned for a mix-up. Ask the Gemara, what is the mix-up? We don't want to get mixed up between pushkas, which are there for birds which are in the dava, and pushkas, which are there for birds which are chayva. And as we just explained, the birds that are there for the dava are carbon oila. The birds that are there for carbon the dove for carbon birds that are there for carbon the dove are both carbon oilas. The birds that are there for carbon chayva, there's carbon chattis and a carbon oila. And the chattis has to be brought on the top of the mizbeach, and all of it is spring. All of it is put on the mizbeach. The chattis is put on the bottom half, and none of it is put on the mizbeach besides the blood. If we're going to get mixed up, we could end up with very serious repercussions. So the question is, the Tosfos asks, why? So we understand that there's a concern for a mix-up. Why are we more concerned that? So why do we make a push? So we don't want to have pushkas both for chayva and nedava. But why do we make pushka for nedava and not for chayva? Maybe we should make pushkas for chayva and not for nedava. So Tosfos answers that there were more nedavas than chayvas, and because there were more nedavas than chayvas, that's why they made the pushkas for the more common donation. Another pshat, the Tosfos suggests, the nedava birds were only brought when the mizbeach was idle. And therefore, you could have a situation, explains Tosfos, where the mizbeach is not empty, the mizbeach is not idle. And what was done with that money? It had to be left on the side until it's going to be used. Whereas the money that was brought for the chayvis, that money had to be used immediately. People are relying on their kapara until that money is brought. So since the money of the nedava is more likely to be kept to the side, that's why they use the pushkas for the nedava money. Another pshat is that if people are going to see that the money that they're bringing for nedava is not treated and protected properly, people won't bring that money. And there's really no obligation to bring that money. But the chayva, they're going to bring no matter what, because they know that they don't have a kapara until they bring the chayva. And since we want to get people to bring nedavas, we protect the nedavas in a way that people will bring the money and be confident that it's being watched properly. Ask the Gemara. Amalei Abaye. So Abaye asked Rabbi Yosef, for never tray, why can't we make a pushka for the chayva and for the nedava? For nechta v'layu, and we should mark them. Hide the chayva, for hide the nedava. Which pushka is the chayva pushka, which is the nedava pushka, and there won't be any mix-up. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, less like Siva. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't rely on writing as a good method of differentiating. Says the Gemara, where do we see that Rabbi Yehuda does not agree to that method? The Tanan, we go to our Mishnah. We learned in our Mishnah, we just quoted it, Rabbi Yehuda Aymer Loha Yisham Eloken Echel Bavad, that Rabbi Yehuda held that in the base of Mikdash there was only one base. And they did not have two separate braces. Why? Trey my tamaloi. Why didn't he, Rabbi Yehuda, why didn't they make two bases? As we explained, because Rabbi Yehuda was concerned, Mishum the Mechlefi. You may end up getting mixed up between the dam of the par and the dam of the sar. And you may end up choosing the dam of sar before the dam of par, which we learned earlier, you're always supposed to do the par before the sar, but by having only one cane, it helps you remain focused which is which. But if we have this option of marking the cane, so ask the Gemara, v'nichtav trei, why don't we make two canes? V'lichtav alai hai the par, v'hai the sar, and then Rabbi Yehuda could agree that we'll have two canes, elo. The fact that Rabbi Yehuda didn't offer that option in the Mishnah is obvious. Rabbi Yehuda less than Ksiva. Rabbi Yehuda does not agree that Ksiva is an option. Meisvei, so continues the Gemara, going back to what we discussed from Sechta Shkolim. We learned there were Shlosha Esri Shoifers. There were 13 pushkas in the Beis HaMikdash. And as the Miri points out, these were 13 donations, as we're going to learn, that they always needed. And that's why they made 13 pushkas. But for things, for example, like a carbon, that somebody, when he brings a carbon, has to actually be there when his carbon is offered, there was no pushkas. For your kosov leim, what were the 13 pushkas? The first one was takan charetin. Every year, as we learned in Masechet Shkolim, everybody has to bring a machzis shekel. They were put into the one shofar. It's called taklin charetin, the new pushkas. Taklin atikin is if somebody didn't give money, didn't donate last year to the machzis shekel, he's not off the hook, and he has to put it into the taklin atikin. The other shofar was kinin, as we discussed, and will discuss. Geisli oila was if somebody donated birds. Eitzim, if someone donated wood for the mizbeach, that's where he put the money. Nedot levana, if somebody donated levana. Zav l'kapiris, if somebody donated gold. And then there was shishal nedova. And the Gemara explains every one of the pushkas. Taklan charetin, as we explained. Eilu shkolim shekol shana v'shana. Those are the shkolim that every year were donated. Taklan atikin is for the mishloi shokel ishtakid. If somebody did not donate last year, yishkel shana abo, they were used for next year. The Mishnah Masechet Shkolim, Perek Dal, Mishnah Aleph, taught us that the money that was put into the pushkin, to the pushka of taklin atikin, was used for tzarchet tzibur, to fix the walls of the city, etc. Kinim, the pushkin that says kinim, hein tyron, if somebody donated doves for on the dova, guys like Ayla Abnei Yoina, if somebody donated pigeons, the Kulan Ayla to Rabbi Yehuda. As Rabbi Yehuda explained early in the shir, there were only pushkas for Nadava, and all the birds that were brought for Nadava are always brought as carbon oilus, but you could have two types of birds that are used for Ayla, for carbon, either Tyrim or Bnei Yoina, and you have to bring two. So it was one pushka if somebody decided to bring two Tyrim as an Adava, or another pushka if somebody donated two Bnei Yoina for an Adava. But if somebody was obligated, as we spoke extensively earlier, to bring a pair of birds, Azov, Azova, Yoledis, etc., they were obligated to bring a pair of birds, Ech Lechatos Vecher L'Oila, for such a situation there was no pushka, but rather the person who had this obligation would give it directly to the kohen. But what we see from here, that we do that each pushka was marked. So we said before that Rabbi Yehuda holds that something that Rabbi Yehuda holds that we don't rely on ksiva. Here we see that Rabbi Yehuda clearly relied on ksiva. Answers the Gemara, Kiyasa Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi said a different reason now. So that is not the reason. Must be a different reason why Rabbi Yehuda doesn't want to have a special pushka for the chayvis. A whole new concern. Amri Marava, Gzeirah Mechum Shchatos Meis Baleil. As we discussed many times, there's a halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim that if somebody designated animal or money for karban chatas, and then that person passes away, there's a halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim that person, that karban chatas is left to die, or the bunny, as we're going to see, is thrown away. And the reason we always explain is because what is the purpose of bringing a karban chatas? The purpose of bringing a karban chatas is to effect a kapara. But if the person who is bringing this karban chatas passes away, ein lecha kapara gedayla mazu, the misa already affects a kapara. And since the misa affects the kapara, there's no purpose in bringing the karban chatas, and it goes lemisa. So here we're concerned that maybe one of the owners is going to die, and therefore that money has to be disposed. The money has to be taken liyam hamelech. The reason the Gemara always says that it's taken liyam hamelech is because the yam hamelech, we don't want that anybody should pick up that money. So in other places where there are people traveling in those seas and those oceans, they may find the money and use it. And it's money that's osu b'hanor. But nobody travels in the Yam HaMelech, and that's why we're not concerned. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda says we don't have a pushka for the kinei chayva. What he meant is he's worried that the tarayvus, he's worried that it may get mixed up together with the money of it may get mixed up with the money of people who passed away, and that money, those kabbonis, cannot be burnt. They cannot be offered. Ask the Gemara, Umicha Shinan, is there indeed a halachic concern that somebody passed away? But Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us in Masech the Gittin, Daf Chof Chesam and Aleph, HaShaleich HaChatosim in Medina Siyam, if somebody sends a Karmachatos from overseas, and the halacha is, as we just keep on repeating, a Karmachatos can only be offered if the owner is alive. Chatos Shemesa Baleo, a Chatos that owners die, we don't bring. So the question is, especially in those days where it took a while for something to come, we don't have to worry, says the Gemara, that the person who sent it is not alive. We have a Chazaka Shukayim, that he's alive, and we don't have to worry that he died. So the Gevurah Sari asks a question. How could the Gemara bring a Raya from that Mishnah that we need not be concerned that somebody died? They were speaking about one individual. So that one individual, of course, that has a chazaka that he's alive. But here, asked the Gevurah Sari, we're talking about a whole group. And the whole group is more possible, hopefully, and didn't happen, that somebody passed away. So the Gevurah Sari says, the way that they used to put the money into this pushka was every person wrapped his money individually. So when the Kohen Gadol takes out a package of money, he says, each packet is separate. We're not looking at the whole pushka full of money. We're looking at each packet separately, and therefore we could say, as we say from the Mishnah here, Masech the Gittin, that we need not be concerned that he's not alive. Based on this, the Maril says that if we left somebody who's sick in a certain city, and again, they didn't live in a world of telephones, etc., that they should really know what's going on, we shouldn't say mishaberek for that person, assuming that he's still sick or assuming that he's still alive. But the question is, on the Maril, our Gemara just said that we don't have to, everybody has a cheskes chai. So he says that by bekuach nefesh, so we don't go bus arrive. And by the arrive, we say, by bekuach nefesh, we always say sofak nefashis lahakol. And that's why the halacha says that Nach L'Shiva, the Chassam Sofer quotes this, that we could continue davening. Because if we're talking about bekuach nefesh, we don't go after the arrive, and we could always hope that he's alive. Ella, says the Gemara, the concern, so what are we saying, Rabbi Yehuda's concern, that there's money, if we're going to have one pushka for chayva money, there's money of a person who might have died, we're not worried that people are going to die, we just learned, says the Gemara, what we're concerned is, Shemesa Balavada, we know that one of the people that was there, that donated money, passed away, and now we have a problem, we don't know whose money is who. Ask the Gemara, but why would that be a problem? The Naba Avazuzim, we know every pair of birds was worth arba zuzim. So ask the Gemara, why don't we just take out arba zuzim, the nishdam emayim, and throw it into the water, and we'll say that this is the money of the dead person, v'hanach nishteru, and the rest of the money will be fine. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda less lay breira. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't rely on breira, and since we doesn't rely on breira, we can't retroactively determine that this is the money of the person who passed away. But Taisus asks, that even if you don't rely on Breira, but we know there's a concept of a bitl b'roiv, only one person from all of those who donated money passed away. Most of the money is from people that are alive. So why don't we say bitl roiv? So Taisus in Masechta Me'ilah answers that since money is something which is chashiv, a dava chashiv never becomes bottle. Another pshat that the Pnei Shloima suggests is that Yehuda's opinion is that min b'mino, if you have two things that are the same, we don't say bittel. Here we're talking about money. All money is the same, and therefore, since it's min b'mino, that's why it's not bottle. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, lesley breira, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't accept the concept of breira, and since he doesn't accept the concept of breira, that's why we can't just rely on a retroactive designation to say that we rely on Breira. So Tosfos and Erevin asks that there are places that we see, the Gemara is going to prove in tomorrow's Shir, Mitzvah Shem, that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold the Breira. But Tosfos says that the Gemara says in Masechet Gittin, Haimel ishta herezu gitech im omis mechel zu. If somebody says, this get should be valid if I will die from the disease that I am now suffering. The halacha is that the get's a good get. Now the question is, isn't that Breira? When he ends up dying from this disease, we retroactively say that the get is a good get. So why does Rabbi Yehuda not agree with Breira? So the answer Taisu suggests is there's a difference between somebody making something that's in his control and something that's not in his control. Something which is in your control, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold a Breira. And therefore, in the case like we're going to discuss tomorrow, Shir, you should express yourself in a way that's clear and not rely on retroactive designations. But in a situation where it's not in your hands, like the example that we just gave, in Meis Michael Izeh, a person's life is not in his own hands. It's in the hands of somebody else. There, Rabbi Yehuda does not agree to the concept of Breira. And Tosfos goes on to say that the case in our Gemara, where you're going to take out money from the Pushka, is something that's in your control. It's considered Toilet B'das Atzmai, and the Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda in such a situation, Lesley Breira does not subscribe to the concept of Breira.